Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel. The all-new Opel Mokka. With a new visor front face and pure panel interior, this is Opel.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
That was a bit of a wake-up call there on the Delta variant. 51551 for your messages this morning. Now, London has one, so does Stockholm, as does Singapore and many other cities around the world. I'm talking about car congestion charges. And yesterday, a conference in Trinity College Dublin discussed whether our capital city should be thinking along the same lines. In a minute, we'll hear from Conor Faulkner, transport commentator and former director with the AA. But first, Professor Brian Caulfield from the School of Engineering in Trinity College Dublin says cars need to be treated like plastic bags with levies put on their use in Dublin, and he joins me now. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Claire.
Thank you very much for joining us. So when do you think that car congestion charges need to become a reality in Dublin City, firstly?
So in Dublin, I think after 2027, when the metro will have been delivered, as will bus connects, I think that's when we need to start to consider congestion charges. And I think now is the time to start the conversation about them. I think they're going to be inevitable in the city.
Okay, that's a big variable there, bus connects and the metro. If those things don't happen, should a congestion charge be in place?
No, I don't think. I think people need an alternative. And it's not just bus connects, it's not just the metro link. There are other projects that can deliver mobility for the city. But without those in place, I do think it would be unfair and inequitable to expect motorists to be charged. But with those projects in place and the amount of money that the state is spending on them, I think a congestion charge is inevitable.
Is there any other way to do it, to stop cars or discourage cars from coming in?
There are other ways to do it. So what Paris have done is that they've basically taken a lot of road space out of the city. They've also introduced a low emission zone, so certain vehicles can't get in. Another way to look at it would be to look at parking within the city centre, within the canals, how much of it that we offer to motorists. Can we reduce that? And then that would then also result in a decrease in congestion.
Okay, so for the people then, thinking about who this is going to affect most, it'll be commuters, you know, the people who bought the house in Kildare or Meath or further afield. They're the ones really that will suffer on the head of this, aren't they?
Potentially, yes, but there will be alternatives available. But when you look at the count over the canal in 2019, only 27% of the traffic over the canals was by a private car. So the numbers are dwindling in those that drive into the city centre.
Okay, Conor Faulkner, as I said, is also with us. Conor, I know you've been asked about this in the past, but, you know, our commitments to reducing emissions now are very serious, very definite targets to be met. This is likely to happen, would you say?
Well, not for the reasons of emissions, unless that's used as some sort of a kind of a false flag for a tax. But broadly speaking, I agree with the point made in that we do have to provide public transport. And really, we could talk about all of the other solutions, Claire, imaginative ones and creative ones and bicycle lanes and this, that and the other. But we must provide mass public transport in Dublin. We haven't done it yet. We're 30 years talking about the need for metro in Dublin. We still haven't delivered it. And once you do have a quality public transport system to offer people, you suddenly find you don't need a congestion charge. You don't need to force people out of their cars when you've got alternatives. If you look at the Lewis, for example, the lines that do run, or the DART system in Dublin, they provide an excellent service, and nobody has to be persuaded to leave the car at home. The public transport options are packed. So really, this is it's a point that I've made over the years, many, many times, but it remains a simple analysis. If you provide public transport and it's good, the citizens take to it in droves. They don't need to be forced. If you don't provide it, then no amount of forcing is going to help. Mm-hmm. So, for example, we could certainly keep traffic off the streets in Dublin tomorrow. We could achieve that with roadblocks, and that would be a traffic-free city. But it would cause enormous collateral damage. We need the city to function. There's more to it than, you know, stuffed olives and artisan coffee. It has to be a centre of industry and business, and that means a requirement for transport. And like it or not, in Dublin, the private car will, for the foreseeable future, be one significant component of that mix.
Okay, and Brian, what's the experience in other cities? So Conor is saying if you build it, they will come. There'll be no need for a congestion charge because people will use the public transport services that are in place. But London still needed to go ahead with their congestion charge despite having a very good public transport system.
They did, and the congestion charge there has reduced traffic on the order of about 15%. It has increased public transport usage. We see the same in Stockholm. The same thing happened there. But one argument I would give about the Lewis when it was built, a lot of people that used the Lewis basically transferred from bus to Lewis. So there wasn't as much decrease in car usage as we would have expected. So that's the kind of thing that I suppose I'm arguing for. When we put in all these public transport options, if the shift is just from a less efficient mode of public transport to the metro or the Lewis, then we're losing. We do need to get the people out of their cars, and that's the key target.
Okay, so you need to convert people. You're not taking people off the bus and putting them onto the Lewis. That's a completely pointless exercise. You want people to say, this is more attractive to me than using my car.
Exactly, and that's the key. And you said it earlier about emissions. We've 8.5 years to reduce our emissions in transport by 51%. The EPA today have already said that we're likely to miss our targets based upon our current plans. So we need to start to think big and imaginative, and this is one of the solutions, okay. I think.
What would you do then, Brian, with all of the parking spaces that would be available and vacant in Dublin if this were all to happen?
There's a huge amount of space given up to parking in the city centre. I would suggest, you know, you start to talk to architects and other engineers about what we could do with that space, be it, you know, residential, recreational. There's lots of different uses that we could do for it. And I think I worked it out that there would be about 1,090 square metre apartments if the parking, the private car parks were transferred over to other uses.
Okay. And just to explain, where exactly would this congestion charge, are you talking about inside the M50 or you mentioned the canals there? Explain to us where it would apply.
It would be within the canals, and that would be the most logical place to do it. So we've got a natural coordinate around the city of the canals. We've also got loads of bridges over the canals into the city centre, and that's where I suppose you would place the cameras to capture people coming in and out of the city.
Okay, Conor, how does that suit you on the canals?
Well, no, it sounds horrific, I have to say. And again, it's a remedy worse than the disease because, I mean, even in London, you had 87% of people using public transport before the congestion charge was introduced. And it was perfectly reasonable to regard residual car use as a taxable self-indulgence. But that's just not the situation in Dublin City. And again, clearly I no longer speak for the AA, but the points that have been made over the years by motorists remain entirely valid. People are crying out for some sort of alternative. Now, the biggest problem Lewis had pre-pandemic was that it was packed. You'd be more logic applying a congestion charge on the Lewis than on the roads. So the capacity just simply isn't there. Dublin needs to build metro. Dublin has needed to build metro for at least 30 years. The best time to start doing it was probably in the 60s. Second best time is now. We need to build metro. And if we don't, talk about a system like Bus Connects, for me, that just frustrates me. It's too small. It lacks vision. Dublin City's been here for 1,000 years. It's going to be here for another 1,000. It's going to need metro. And if you provide serious mass transit in that form, then if you have residual car use, you can look at it as a taxable self-indulgence. But between now and then, it is a fantasy to pretend that our congestion problems, let alone our emissions problems, are caused by motorists who won't do the right thing. It's a fundamentally flawed diagnosis. And okay. I think, you know, busier city than that with other people involved, it's just too simplistic and unlikely to work, I believe.
Brian, we have people texting us here who say that we need more of the carrot and not the stick, and the congestion charge is the stick. Certainly in the view of this person who says the easiest way to decongest traffic from the cities is to maximise remote working. People don't want to be in traffic jams in cities.
Yep, I completely agree. And I think if you look at the data from 2019, people spent about 9 days in peak morning congestion in their cars. We're not sure what remote working will do in terms of the demand for transport. And I completely agree with Conor. We do need the metro. We do need the big public transport projects. They're going to be very costly, but we need them to keep our city operating and also to meet our emissions targets.
Mm-hmm. But what about this notion that what you're proposing, the congestion charge, it's the stick, isn't it?
It is the stick, but the stick would only come into place once the carrots were there, and that is the metro, and that is Bus Connect. And that's how it's been done in many cities. And like we talk about London a lot, but Stockholm is another city, and it's pretty similar to Dublin. And what they did was initially they rolled out extra bus services, park and ride. They increased the capacity on their rail networks, and they did that over 6 months prior to introducing the congestion charge. And it was brought in there as a trial, and the people wanted to keep it, and it is quite successful.
Another listener suggests small electric motor vehicles are a solution to reducing transport on the roads, but towns and cities will need to be pedestrianised for that to happen. So once you get your public transport into the city, how do you then move around easily, Brian, in the city? Do you have a plan for that?
So within the city, there are lots of things that we can do. So if you look at Dublin, Dublin Bikes has been very successful. You look at scooters, I think they may take up some of that demand. But then also, I'm not saying that taxis shouldn't be in the city centre. Small electric taxis could move people around when they get into the city centre, catering for that last mile demand.
Mm-hmm. What about electric vehicles in general, Brian? Are you a fan?
I'm not really a fan. I do think that we will need electric vehicles to meet our emissions targets. But, the amount of money that's been spent on them, I think it's maybe
By who? By the people who are buying them?
By the people that are buying them, but then also by the state. The state puts in about 13,000 per brand new electric vehicle that's purchased. And that's across the country. So there isn't a kind of, an equity there. So I live next to the Green Lewis line. I would get €13,000 for an electric car if I wanted to buy one. But say somebody living in rural Mayo, they won't get it. They would get the same grant as I would get. So do I need an electric car? Or, for transitioning to low or zero emission transport, do people in rural Ireland, do they need a greater incentive?
Mm-hmm. Okay, Brian, thank you very much indeed for joining us. And Conor Faulkner too. We'll leave the last word to this listener who says, I'm in my car now on my way to work. I could easily do that trip on a bus, but I'm too lazy. Increasing tax would make me change my habit. 51551.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.